My name is Nellie Thomas. I'm filling in for Lindy Burns for another couple of weeks. I'm joined in the studio by Christy Matheson, Senior Film Programmer from ACME, and I'm absolutely delighted to introduce our next guest. Jason Tamaru is a Yorta Yorta man, and he's a producer of theatre and comedy at the Malthouse Theatre. He's many, many other things, but he's in the studio to talk to us about his top five films. Jason, how are you?
Hi, Nellie. How you going?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. So your list... Top five films, did you find it hard?
Yes and no. It's sort of, you know, you go back to your childhood and you think what response, what were your best films from your childhood. So I've gone through a bit of a journey, actually.
Yeah. Did you go back to, like, E.T.?
I think it was my first film.
Not E.T.?
It wouldn't have been E.T. Are we going to go now?
Yeah, sure. Tell us your first film. Tell us your number one.
Number one, I guess my first film is Storm Boy.
Storm Boy. Christy, are you familiar with Storm Boy?
It's a great film.
Yeah.
I think it's such a classic, isn't it?
Absolute classic. Yeah. And I remember watching it as a little boy, you know.
Just talk us through it for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, Storm Boy, firstly, like I said, I am a Yorta Yorta man, and happy Nanook to all the Boomerang and Spear people out there. It's a fantastic couple of weeks. So
it's a big time for you.
It is a big time.
I appreciate you coming in, actually. I thought you'd be booked out solid.
Yeah, we're booked out solid, but we always have time for Nelly.
Oh, thank you, Jason.
Yeah, so Storm Boy, I guess growing up, you know, we get to watch a lot of in Australia, especially back in the, you know, mid-80s, 90s, you see a lot of the Australian films, and let's say they didn't have too much colour TV back then.
That's
too
right.
much Indigenous people on
the screen. Bit
whitewashed. Yeah, just a little bit.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm watching this film, and lo and behold, this enormous, good-looking fellow with long hair, he could really move, had the blackest skin, he painted up something pretty special. He sang in language.
Yep.
And he done a cultural dance. Mm. And on top of it all, he was connected with a pelican named Mr. Percival.
Mm.
I mean,
win, win, win.
What more do I ask?
Yeah. So you're a little Yorta Yorta boy.
Yeah.
You've probably never seen a Australian Aboriginal kid on television or in a movie before.
That's
so
right.
So is your, like, mind blown?
Yeah, it really blew my mind because, you know, back then, I guess, what would you see on TV or screen or whatever would be footballers. So
So the only Aboriginal people you saw on telly were either badly portrayed, I'm guessing, or footy players.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And here we've got this fantastic dancer, David Gopal up there doing his thing. And what blew me away was I remember my friend saying, you know, wow, I want to be Fingerbone Bill. And I'm like, what? What did you say? Yeah, he wanted to be an Aboriginal. So that was
you
really...
You met a white friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted to be Aboriginal back then.
Mm.
So that was really, really rare. So, yep.
So people who say, you know, representation in film, whether it's race, whatever it is, isn't important, wrong. Jason Tamaru.
It totally matters. It
wrong.
Totally matters.
Of course it matters. I mean, we know it matters with gender. It clearly matters with race, ability, disability, etc. Beautiful Storm Boy. So can we still get Storm Boy, Christy, do you reckon?
We can, and the National Film and Sound Archive restored it only a year or two ago, and it looks beautiful. It had another rerun of screenings around the country, and amazing.
I'm going to get that for my kids.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful film, and it's lovely. It's been beautifully restored, and it looks exactly how you remember seeing it when you were a kid. It's great.
Beautiful. Number one. Hit us with number two, Jason Tamaru.
Well, a bit of a Uncle David Gopal theme here.
Yeah.
Because he's my favourite actor.
Yeah.
He's the man. He's the number one.
He's a hero.
He's a cultural man of Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, The Tracker.
The Tracker.
Have you seen The Tracker?
Yeah, I have.
Have you seen The Tracker?
Yeah, yeah.
This film is in my top 10 favourite films
ever. Is it really?
I love this film so much. It's astoundingly good.
And that wasn't set up to have you two have that.
No, it's such an amazing film, and it's really his performance that it all rests on. It's incredible.
Just the stillness. Is that what it is about him?
Yeah.
I don't understand. Why is he so special?
He's got that beat. He's got that timing to perfection where you have to take that moment. You know, you take that breath. We're living in a time when everything's like snap, crackle and pop. It's just flat out all the time.
Crazy busy.
And then everyone's moving. Let's get this shot. Bang, bang. I mean, I work in that environment, so I know what it's like.
Yeah.
But Uncle Dave he's just got this way of slowing down time. And slowing down time, you can be able to see it better.
To look
at it better. See it, smell it,
listen,
touch it.
Yeah.
So I remember watching him, like, he was a tracker. He was, like, tracking down this fugitive who he'd done something wrong. And I remember watching it going, wow, look at his skills. He can see the pebbles or the stones, like, moving in the rocks. And I'm like, wow. So I remember going out the backyard and, you know, having a look and see if I can see any marks. And, yeah. And then I was getting my brother, and I go, come on, you got to go hide now. I've got to go try and find you.
I'm going to track you.
I'm going to track you down. And yeah. Anyway, I'm tracking him down. He always used to hide in his bedroom in the wardrobe. So it was pretty easy to find. So, but anyway, I tracked him down, so it was pretty good.
But, you know, again, it reminds me in terms of the role stuff, imagining not Jason Tamaru now, but Jason Tamaru as a little boy, you're also seeing that character of the tracker advising white men, probably in this case police officers, mm-hmm. that he's got a skill they don't have.
Mm.
So it's not a story of him being arrested, or it's not a story of him being in any way secondary. In fact, he is in some way superior. He has knowledge of the land that is superior.
Mm.
Is that why it connected, do you think?
Yeah, it's a landscape, the Australian landscape. Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful. And it had the soundtrack from Uncle Archie Roach. Mm. And I've got to brag about this. I've seen it in the cinema in St Kilda and, you know, got the VIP treatment because, you know, being an Aboriginal here in Melbourne, we're pretty lucky to get a ticket. I mean, my family to go check it out. But had a live band. When this was on.
Oh, wow.
So Uncle Archie was in there with this live band. I'm just sitting there going, pitching myself. So that was really, really cool.
I was going to say Logies. Let's avoid the Logies. It was like an Oscars moment or something.
But do you think because David Gupilil is such an incredible dancer, I mean, on screen he is incredibly magnetic. It doesn't, when you see him as a young man, when you see him, you know, in recent films as a much older man, but he's got this way that he holds himself. And I wonder if it is because he's a dancer, but he's like no one else you see on
screen. You can't stop looking at him.
No, he's incredible, and he's just got this
charisma.
And just this posture's not the right word, but the way he holds himself is very unique.
Has been taken over by TV shows that don't do it justice, but he does have the X factor.
Doesn't he?
He's got that thing that you can't turn away from.
What film he's in, he really steals the film. Every time he's in a movie, he really doesn't have to be in it for very long, but he can just steal the whole film away.
So we've got Storm Boy, 1976, The Tracker, 2002. What's your number three, Jay?
The Chanter, Jimmy Blacksmith.
Of course it is. Talk us through The Chanter, Jimmy Blacksmith, for those who haven't seen it.
Well, firstly, how would I start? I just want to acknowledge the passing of the great man, a great actor, Mr. T.E. Lewis, who was in that film. I know a lot of your listeners would be familiar of him. So,
and when did he pass away?
About 4 weeks ago, yeah. I think 5 weeks ago. It was a shock to a lot of people and to everyone, really. So, I just want to acknowledge his passing and great respect to his family and his people and everybody else who were close to him. But the story of Jimmy Blacksmith, I remember a lot of the people know the story that Mr. Lewis was, you know, at Tullamarine Airport and, you know, just about to jump on a flight and probably had enough of the world, like a lot of us do, and he's probably packing his bag from Melbourne, going to go back home, that's it, back to the Northern Territory, and all of a sudden there was this big-time director who was at the airport at the time, and he spotted him and asked him if he'd like to be in a film, and I guess...
This is a true story.
This is how it happened.
Yeah, this is true story, not the movie. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he was having trouble trying to cast or find someone and, you know, like everything, he went to the airport there at Tullamarine and...
Literally 1 foot, like, on the plane ready to go.
That's amazing.
Going back to country.
Mm.
No, you're not, son.
Yeah, there it is and the rest of history. And what's that story? It's pretty brutal, Nally.
It is. It's a violent film, you'd have to say.
It's really a violent film, but it was my introduction to these words of half-caste and there was another word which I just can't remember, but they used to grade my people with what types of blood were in us. So we could have been half-caste, quarter-caste and all this type of thing, which I don't know how that works.
So but, at that time, those were... you know, completely acceptable, not to you, but completely widely used terms, and they were there on the screen.
Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, I know that some people use those terms now who in deliberately racist ways, but they're gone mostly from our vernacular, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're completely inappropriate descriptions.
Yeah.
But what is it about that film that, like, touched you?
I guess it's for me, it was the strength.
You're a teenager when you watch it?
Yeah, it was the strength of the man. Like, we're going through time. You look at the history, 67, we become part of the Federation, the Constitution. That's all of a sudden we had equal rights. And then, and then in the 70s, 1972, there was a bit of a political, movement going on, in the 70s with the Black Power movement that happened in America. And
it's almost like the American Civil Rights Movement caught up.
Yes.
We caught up with it a bit.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you'd seen the courage of black men and women just really ripping it out, like saying, no, this is not good.
I will not accept
this. I'm not going to accept this. And in this movie, and it was pretty full on and the response to everything. So
you like the power.
It was the power of the film and also – learning that the breakdown of history or what happened to my people, I've seen it in that film and how some people reacted from that breakdown. And, so that was a real eye-opener for me.
So did it help you understand even your own history more?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of
so
course.
Do you think it – have you seen it, Christy?
Yeah, and again, it's a film that is a real classic of Australian cinema. I think it's one of the most important films. It's always return to, but it's interesting because some people find it a very confronting film, and
it is a very
in terms of
film.
Representation. So, but I do think the film remains important, and I think that it's something that you would hope people would still seek out.
Would we
and
would say
still,
18 plus?
I would
16.
I think so. I mean, it really depends, but it is a confronting film. I mean, you talk about a film that you need to debrief on afterwards, and I think it's a film that. It sort of deserves context and needs it because it's not directed by an Indigenous person. So it's got that other layer of complexity that I think...
So it needs discussion about
the... You do need to talk about the film.
Who's directing it, but also the language that's used and probably the violence as well would need... Just I'm going 18 plus.
Yeah, I'll go 18 plus.
You'd go 18 plus, I reckon. Yeah. I mean, really great for young people to learn this history. But I'm thinking maybe a little bit too confronting under 18.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We had to grow up pretty quick back in the old days.
We sure did. I watched everything and anything. Like we just had, the VCR was there, whatever you could find, you're allowed to watch. So I wouldn't recommend that as a parenting style. Now, number 4 is an interesting choice. And when I say interesting, I haven't seen it. So you're going to have to explain this one to me.
Wrong Side of the Road.
And actually, before you do that, I should remind people that you're listening to ABC Radio. This is Dial M for Movies. It's evenings. My name is Nellie Thomas. In the studio is Christy Matheson and also Jason Tamaru. Jason Tamaru has given us his top 3 so far. His 4th is Wrong Side of the Road.
Yeah, this is Wrong Side of the Road.
Do you know this one, Christy?
I've never seen it. I've only ever seen clips of it.
Oh, wow.
I know, and I'm after, seeing it on your list, I was like, I've really got to find this. Again, it's just been restored.
So what is it? I don't even know anything about it, honestly.
I think it's set in the 80s.
Okay.
And
made in the 80s or set?
Made
and set in the 1980s in Australia.
Yeah, and it follows a couple of Aboriginal blackfella bands, we call them, blackfella bands.
Yeah.
No Fixed Address.
Yeah.
And also Us Mob and those two groups, I guess, for a lot
of... So the bands are called No Fixed Address and Us Mob?
Us Mob, yeah.
Because I thought you were saying they had No Fixed Address. Okay, I'm with you. Two bands, Fixed Address and Us Mob. Is it doco?
Yeah, and it's a film. And what they did was, I guess... They travelled around the country and they played in pretty far out places, really connecting with community and connecting the community, from the kids to the uncles to the aunties, the mothers, the fathers, grandparents, and so on. Everyone would come along and check out these bands and what
because there's none of this, no kids at events nonsense.
Yeah,
that we have.
Well, we didn't have too many Aboriginal bands cruising around back in those days. It was pretty pretty intense country, I guess, back in the 80s in the 80s there. And so what the audience got to do? They got to follow these two Aboriginal bands that go into some of these pretty far out. In the desert pubs, and I get to
experience. So just keep travelling around.
They experience a lot of the racism
yeah.
that was in the country. but also I guess it was a bit of a warts and all approach in engaging with the Aboriginal community. So you've seen some of some pretty confronting stuff.
So nothing's watered down?
No, nothing.
Whether it's the racism or any of the dysfunction.
Dysfunction, yeah.
And
it's,
is it also kind of a concert film? So do you get to see lots?
Yeah.
So you get to hear a lot of the music.
That's right.
And, yeah, right.
Yep, that's exactly right. And it's pretty confronting at the time. But, you know, I've got a smile on my face. We're sort of, this is how we are. This is what we see. Mm. And what was really nice to watch something.
The truth is the truth.
And it was good to see something bloody honest.
Mm.
And some that can really, really connect with.
And I don't know about you, Christy, but what I keep hearing, and this is one of the reasons that I love Jason, is constantly talking about connection. Mm. And it might be to particular community, but it's about connection to people and connection to tradition and connection to culture and just how this is a theme through these movies, but it's a theme through your work as well, isn't it? Just, and that's what resonates with all of the four movies that you've spoken about, the connection.
Yeah, well, you got to get inspired from somewhere, Nelly, and you know people get inspired from things that are above, and some people get inspired from what's from the ground. And because my culture, we come from the earth, you know, and that's what really inspires me. So we're the oldest storytellers in the world. So you know, to get the opportunity to listen to someone tell a story, then put that on paper or put it on film, is pretty special for us. And when that comes up, wow.
Off we go.
We pack the places out, that's for sure.
And your favourite, well, is it your favourite? I don't know which order you went, but it was my favourite of your choices.
Was it? Really?
It was, because, well, for obvious reasons. Number five?
Yeah, well, this is not my top five. I mean, these are the five films that had an impression on me.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, I wouldn't be a...
So you interpreted it that way rather than my five, like, favourite, I'd pull it out on a Saturday night and watch this film.
They influenced me over my life.
Yeah.
And I guess, being a Yorta Yorta man, I have to say the Sapphires.
Of course you do, Christy.
It's such a great film.
Beautiful film.
But, I mean, it's politically charged, but the performances are amazing. The songs are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a film you can watch again and again.
And speaking of both those things, because I know we're going to run out of time, you have to tell us very quickly about Blackie Blackie Brown, Jason Tamaru.
Well, this is a great show.
Nakia Louie.
Yeah, exploitation, black exploitation film.
Blaxploitation.
Yeah, that's the word. And Nakia Louie, I don't know where she gets the time to write or do anything.
Honestly.
She's absolutely busy all the time, but this is another one of her babies. Works with Declan Green.
Yeah.
It's
going to be on at the Malt House?
It's on at the Malt House, and it's basically a little bit of a revenge for traditional owners.
Yes. Traditional owners... imagined revenge story.
That's right.
We put it that way. But it is a black comedy in both senses of the word.
That's correct.
So quite dark humour.
Very much so.
And Indigenous focused.
100%.
Sounds amazing. So that will be on from the 5th to 29th of July by Nakia Louie, and there's various other people involved in it. So at the Malt House, have you got other productions that are on at the moment that we should be looking out for, or is that the main one we're going to spruik?
That's the main one.
So we're going to go Jason Tamaru, Storm Boy from 1976, The Tracker, The Chanter, Jimmy Blacksmith, Wrong Side of the Road, and The Sapphires. Thank you for joining us, Jason. And, of course, Christy, thank you so much for coming in.